Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd, and we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page XXVII, starting with the doctor writes down to that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. So that's four paragraphs today. Today's readers are Eileen M. is reading the text. Alex K. is reading our closing, A Vision for You, page 164. The reference numbers for Tuesday, January 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern is 20,996. And this morning's meeting, Wednesday, January 3rd, is 21,002. 21,002. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Susan, for your service today and everybody on the line, and especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, working on my recovery today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous was over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. And I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, and thank you, Susan, for your service and everyone else for your service and all those that are on the line this morning. My name is Linda B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, starting with the doctor writes down to that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And I will now invite Eileen M. to read and share on these paragraphs. Thank you, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New Hampshire. The doctor writes, "The subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its applications presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with our ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge." Oh, right, this is great. So what I interpret this to mean is that the doctor is essentially saying that they cannot produce the change that's required to overcome the obsession. So only the higher power can do that. And, you know, this is a credible source because the opinion is really based on observation. It says, you know, after many years of experience, you know, observing these people that come in, you know, he's essentially saying that no human power can relieve the addiction. And so, you know, the concept here of moral psychology, you know, that does not work with the allergy. And, you know, it's interesting. Before I found a vision for you, you know, for years in OA, I really didn't hear the term spiritual awakening used very often. It was only when we read the 12 steps at the beginning that I heard that word or that term. And I thought that if I had a spiritual awakening, it meant that I could eat my alcoholic food safely. And I didn't really understand that, you know, that that the obsession would be removed, you know, as a result of doing the steps. And, you know, the book does say, in the doctor's opinion, that, you know, entire abstinence is the only solution, really. And, you know, it's just so interesting that I didn't have the right information until I came to this meeting, A Vision for You, because it gave me the plan of recovery that's covered in this book, and you know, and he talks about in such masterly detail. Before that, you know, the plan of recovery really was pretty vague. I didn't really have, you know, the knowledge that, hey, the reason that we do the steps is so that our higher power can come into our heart and remove the obsession. So I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to have found this meeting. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen, so much. Okie dokie, onward we go here. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So before I take names, just a reminder, if you came in a little late, we are reading The Doctor's Opinion, XXVII, starting with the doctor writes, four paragraphs down to that lie outside of synthetic knowledge. Who would like to share on these paragraphs this morning?
Jody E.
Shauna C. Tennessee.
Hi, Shauna C. Thank you.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Thank you. Anyone else in this first round?
Brooke K.
Brooke K. We can take one more in this round.
Jordan L.
Hi, Jordan. Good morning. All right. And if you can let us know where you're from when you share, we'll start with Jody E. Go ahead, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. So moral psychology and powers of good. It seems to me that moral psychology is part of what we do here with the 12 steps. We are becoming a more moral person. And morality, good morality, helps us. We're becoming kind, tolerant, patient, and loving people. Not so quick to anger as we used to be. We are more accepting. The moral psychology is indeed part of the 12-step process. And the powers of good is an indirect way of saying some kind of spiritual higher power. The powers of good. But they don't, in these four paragraphs, he doesn't say too much about the importance of abstinence, entire abstinence from alcohol.
Yeah, it's fucking wet.
But we know, having read this chapter before, having read this book before, that entire abstinence is also necessary. So we have entire abstinence, which addresses the physical aspect of this disease, moral psychology, which gets us into the stream of good, the stream of goodness, and powers of good, a higher power that is also part of that stream of goodness and that wants to use us triumphantly to do God's will. That's how I see it. Wants to use us to do good in the world. And this is the formula that works. But I have to get abstinent first before working the steps, or chances are I'm not of vision and thought that I need to work the steps thoroughly. So that I would like to share about these few paragraphs. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Next, we have Shauna C.
Good morning. This is Shauna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks so much for your service and everyone who's read and for being here. The thing that really jumps out for me is that entire abstinence, is all of it, actually. If I had the power to not eat compulsively, I wouldn't be here. If I had the power to get abstinent so that I could work the steps, I wouldn't be here. The thing that drove me and kept me abstinent before I could work the steps was fear and pain. Fear had sobered me just a bit. I was able to go back to not eating my alcoholic foods and you know, for me, weighing and measuring and stuff like that for a couple of days. But I knew deep down in my heart that that was not going to last for very long until somehow I was able to connect with a power greater than myself to keep that obsession away. So what happened with me is I got really, really desperate this last time around, and I haven't found it necessary to pick up since September 29th of 2019. It's a miracle for my life, you know, and it was that point of desperation where I was able to, you know, I prayed and I begged God for help from the absolute depths of my soul that I can't even describe. I can't will myself into that level of desperation and reasonableness. I was beaten into it. And thank God I was heard by my higher power and led to the, you know, the person for me who was able to help me the way I needed to be helped by her sharing her own experience and stuff. And definitely for me, it is, you know, staying away from my alcoholic foods and my alcoholic food behaviors. And while that was lifted, is working through those steps as fast as possible, getting honest with myself and being willing to set aside, you know, all my conceptions that I built up from then up until, you know, from the past up until that point, and being willing to look at everything from an entirely different angle. And the steps teach me how to do that. And I believe with each action that I've taken, God gives me more and more power. I'm thrust into that, a greater level of humility that causes me to keep going. And what I get to do now in order to keep what I have is to be able to share my own experience, what happened with me. It ain't me keeping me sober and abstinent. It is God doing for me what I can't do for myself as long as I stay in these steps and keep doing his work, you know, to the best of my willingness and ability, and relying on him to help me do it and being honest when I'm weak and all of that stuff. It's just it all works together. Anyway, thankfully I don't have to figure it out, and thankfully I get to stay abstinent another day, another meal at a time. And my dark past is becoming my greatest asset. I'm so grateful for that. Who knew? All right, that's all I have, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Shauna. And as a reminder, if you aren't sharing, star one to keep your line muted. And next we have Bonnie B., and if you can tell us where you're from, Bonnie, please come in.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. Thank you, Susan. Gratefully working on the steps again by the grace of God. This is such an incredible paragraph because for me, this is the idea of not looking to anything outside. I always went to the outside entities, and the outside entities were the medical professions. It was, I mean, you can name it on page 31 where it says, here are some of the methods we've tried. I tried them all. And this is the conclusion that this is my takeaway. Regular doctors or diet clubs, programs, they're not equipped to supply to me what I need. The moral psychology, you know, I have that word crossed out, and I have spiritual awakening above that. I wanted to be moral. I wanted to do everything that was on that list. I could not do it. As much as I wanted, I could not do it. I didn't have the abstinence, number one, and I didn't have the toolkit. I didn't know what it was. So I was looking to other people, places, things, to give me something that they could not give me. And I didn't know they couldn't give it to me, so I just kept looking. And what is it in the end? It's the powers of I have good crossed out and I put God. It's only the powers of a higher power that's going to help me to do what I need to do in this program. If I could have done it like someone else just said, I would have done it, because it was never lack of desire. It was never lack of willpower. It was lack of power, and I just didn't know what was separating me. So this is such an incredible chunk here, because it's based upon many years of experience. He's not guessing. He's saying, this is what I've seen to be true. This is what I have seen in front of me happen. And so I've got solid information upon which to base everything I do. And the information is based upon things, facts, actual facts. So love it. Love this entire chapter. This is the first time there, when I read this for the first time, I was highlighting every single sentence because it was me. I knew it was me. Now, I didn't know how to get to where I wanted to get to, but I knew it was me. And this is a doctor who is confirming this truly is my DNA. And so grateful for each of you, grateful for the steps, for new beginnings, and I will pass with that.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. And Brooke K., you are next, and you can let us know where you're from. Thank you.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Susan, for your leadership. And I'm from California. I am a newcomer to OA. And in the reading, the intervention by a higher power based on real experience that was observed, and the reading is just stated with such conviction that it's easy to understand, it's easy to accept the reading. The fact that a doctor wrote it makes it more acceptable in my view, and I'll be brief. I don't have a lot to comment on. I just wanted to see if I could find my voice to say something. Thank you. I'll pass.
Well done. And if you stay on at the end, our newcomer greeter, Loretta M., will take down your details. Next, we're going to go to Colorado. Welcome, Jordan L. Jordan, star one to unmute.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. That snuck up on me there. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And a little bit emotional this morning, but very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. So this synthetic knowledge, is pretty basic. I'm sure that we've heard it a lot as we've gone to doctors over the years, or nutritionists or dietitians or whatever. It's real basic. You want to lose weight, you got to intake less calories than let out throughout the day, right? It's a really basic formula. And it's about control. Most synthetic knowledge is about control. It's about being able to, in this case, control your food intake, right? And I got to tell you, I got to tell you that it, of course, makes sense on an intellectual level. Like, it's synthetic knowledge, right? We've all come to understand that. We've all been on a diet, or heard about a diet, or tried a diet, or whatever it is. So we get that. What attracted me to Overeaters Anonymous, why I keep coming back, why I continue to come here and I continue to share and I continue to be sponsored and I continue to sponsor others and show up, is not for that synthetic knowledge. It's not for the control. this Overeaters Anonymous was the first time that I heard about a solution other than control. I heard about the spiritual solution and applying a spiritual solution to this problem. And I heard about it from compulsive overeaters that understood the true nature of what it was that I was dealing with here, that had tried the control over and over and over and over and over again and had driven themselves almost mad trying control. And it hadn't worked, but they tried this spiritual solution and it had worked. They were experiencing food neutrality. So I just want to say again that I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. So we will now take our next lineup. Who would like to share on these paragraphs this morning?
Larry G.
Janice K.
I heard
Loretta H.
G. Janice K.
Karen K.
Loretta H.
Hold on one second. I heard Loretta H. I heard Larry, Janice, Loretta. And then there was two more people.
Vanessa G.
Karen K.
Vanessa and Karen K. All right. We will go with this lineup. And if each of you can tell us where you're from when you share. And we'll start out with Larry G. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, good morning. This is Larry G. from Northern California. And welcome the new people and returning OA members. Well, the doctor's opinion has changed my life and my recovery with food. I bought into the doctor's opinion as a recovering alcoholic and completely surrendered to the proposition that I had an abnormal mind when it came to alcohol and an allergy to the body. But I somehow, I didn't buy into it for 20 years from 2000, 2020. I mean, it was, the material was there. The big book was read at meetings, and we did read the doctor's opinion, and there were people who were recovered who were having AA-based OA recovery, but it was convenient for me because I could go on eating the way that I ate and still pretend I was abstinent. About 10 years ago, it was about 33 years in recovery and AA, and we were my wife and I were celebrating New Year's Eve with this mountain resort in this beautiful community kitchen, and we were cooking, and everybody was using the same glasses and plates provided by the hotel. And I picked up this glass, I think it was mine, and I took a hit, and it was wine. And the first thing I did is I ran outside and I threw it up, went to my room, used mouthwash, brushed my teeth. And got on my knees. I was terrified that would trigger the allergy. That's how you could waterboard me. You could torture me and to get alcohol down me. I would not throw my AA recovery under the bus, but I frequently did it with OA. And it wasn't until I came to a vision for you, and I was ready. God provided the opportunity. I did not want to live again. I did not want to go on another day. I was ready to depart from this world. Because I just could not get one day of abstinence. And so I was ready, and I think that is the important ingredient, surrender. And nothing happens to any of us in this program unless we surrender. And I surrendered. I surrendered the fact that I had an allergy to the mind, allergy to the body, and an abnormal mind. And the doctor's opinion has saved my life. And today I have an AA-based OA recovery, the kind of recovery I've always wanted. I always yearned for, longed for, that somehow is beyond my grasp. And today, I would, rather just throw in the cash of chips in than take a piece of brownie or a piece of cake or even like a near beer, like some coconut-based ice cream that I thought was, I was abstinent, and put that to my lips. That's the kind of surrender I had to have that I have today. And I'm sitting here today. The goal weight that I never thought I could be at, the kind of recovery
that's
I never
time.
Thought I could be at, kind of husband, friend, father, business person, and I owe it to the doctor's opinion, and I pass.
Thank you, Larry. Next up, we have Janice K. Janice?
Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. Boy, this is a lot of stuff. Up here, first paragraph, he talks about alcoholic addiction. I can't help but wonder how the concept of alcohol as an addiction hit back in 1930, 1940. I wonder if he got as many, this doctor got as many looks and misunderstandings as the concept and idea of food addiction can bring up in our current environment. And then he goes on to say that he has many years' experience treating addiction. And this guy knows what he's talking about. It just, he cries to be listened to. And he speaks to a subject covered in masterly detail. He's practically begging people to listen. This is what works. Listen to me, he's saying. Then he talks about moral psychology. Moral is the study of good and bad. Psychology is the behavior of various groups of people. And I think that when it comes to fixing the food addicted, the question in the medical fraternity is, how do we help these people? The idea that they could give us a pill and fix us, I wouldn't mind a pill. It would certainly be easier than what I'm doing now. I don't, but you know what? It's a long, slow slog, or it was for me reaching this point. Moral psychology works, but the problem is there's also a physical addiction. Then he speaks to the powers of good that lie outside synthetic knowledge. Synthetic knowledge, to me, represents what is learned. There are people who will come out of their laboratories and say, yeah, you people are addicted. Chemical X meets biochemical Y, and reaction Z ensues, and you are addicted. And we are. And the only way out is to take action. We take actions that become attitudes that develop into a new way of life. Everything changes. Food changes. Food preparation changes. How I live my life changes. And I am so immensely grateful to live in a time and place where I can affect those changes. Thank you for listening, I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Next, we have Loretta H. Loretta?
Good morning, Susan. Thank you, Susan, and thank you all, and welcome to the newcomer. And I do apologize for being so aggressive. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina, all of you and God are saving my life. I'm looking at synthetic knowledge and moral psychology, and that was used on me for many, many years. And, of course, I continued my behaviors. But the irony of all of that was that through my anorexic time, and I could use that for long periods of time, God always saved me by having me binge. And I actually found out that I do have a gene that is a chemical imbalance, but that's neither here nor there, because no doctor, no pill, except for God, could save my life. And it wasn't until I invested in the program, invested in the steps, and invested in the principle of my higher power that I got better. And I've had many, I think all of the times God made me binge until I came into program were actually spiritual experiences. And until the last one, where I couldn't show up for my dad's death, I could not surrender to this program. But today, with God's will, God's grace, and His mercy, I am a recovered wretch like me, and it's amazing grace, but I have to do the work in order to keep it. And again, that's my investment in the steps, helping others and definitely trusting his will and doing his actions, that I can get better one day at a time. And please, the newcomer, it works when you work it. Thank you, everybody. You're saving my life. God bless. Surrendered serenity.
Thank you, Loretta H. Next, we have Vanessa G. in New Mexico.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I'm recovered in New Mexico. Thank you for an awesome meeting so far. You know, as usually happens when I'm on this meeting and studying the big book with you all, each paragraph comes to me in a new and different way. And this morning, I'm thinking about how when I came to recovery in a different program and got recovered, and then my food problem started to rear its head, I knew that the answer was some sort of spiritual psychology or spiritual awakening. But I did not know how to apply it. I kept trying over and over and over again. And it was, I think, because it was synthetic. It was not a spiritual awakening, or it wasn't complete. I just did not have the whole picture of what it meant to be a compulsive overeater. And it wasn't until the power that is good reached out across the country in the form of a phone call from a former fellow who I hadn't talked to for a decade. And she asked me how I was after we talked about what she needed to know. And I told her the truth, I'm dying. And she told me to come and call into this meeting and be among my fellows who didn't have a synthetic answer. They had the real answer, the actual answer. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that that power has come to me through all of you, because you aren't synthetic. You're the real deal. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Vanessa, so much. Okay, and I now think we're going to Florida to Karen K. Karen, would you like to come on the line? Karen K, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. I'm Karen K from Syracuse, New York. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my credits don't transfer. Wouldn't it just be so simple if it was just about the food? Yeah, I do have an allergy, and if I put certain foods into my body or ingredients, it will activate a craving that I didn't know could be so great, especially during a detox period. But it's never really about the food. Like, it's the perfect meal plan, the right sponsor. I need a psychic change. I have great doctors. I have great therapists. I have a great nutritionist. But it's all about that relationship with God. I know we're in the doctor's opinion, but at some point in this chapter, it's going to say, we are enough. They need to have a psychic change. And I need one every day. I don't give God a part of my life. I give God all of my life, and there's just been a recent change in to make that happen. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you for your service, Susan.
Thank you. I had the right coast, but the wrong state. Okay. If you are coming in late, if you joined us a little late, we are talking about the paragraphs on XXVII, starting with the Dr. Wright. Four paragraphs down to that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And as a reminder, we limit our sharing here to every third day in order that everyone gets a chance. So who would like to share next? I want to unmute and tell us your name.
Liz A. from Los Angeles.
Thank you, Liz. Who else would like to join Liz?
Sh- Shirley R. from California.
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Shirley R. from California. Then I heard a
Joshua
gentleman's
voice. Joshua F. New Jersey.
Joshua. And then I heard another lady. Sorry.
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Margaret O. Okay. We will go with this lineup. Liz, would you like to start us off, please?
Yes. Good morning. My name is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California, and thank you, Susan, for your service and everyone who shared before me. Great, great shares. I'm not sure I have that much to add, but basically, for me, you know, I heard this this thing in AA, basically DNA, our DNA stands for don't know anything, and do need the Almighty. And I love that because, you know, there is nothing that is of this world, moral psychology, good, powers of good, synthetic knowledge. I was a science major in school, and I tried so hard to, you know, apply the knowledge that I had to my problem. And no matter what I tried, I failed. And that's because there is nothing of this world that can help me. You know, powers of good, we all, I mean, I know what's good from bad, but how do I apply that? How do I raise my level of consciousness? Only my God can do that for me. And recently I've had a couple of spiritual awakenings that have been just incredible to me, telling me that God is saying, you're going on the right path, Liz. You're going on the right path. And that means everything to me. You know, I'm getting closer to my higher power. There was a Christmas or a New Year's marathon, and I heard this speaker, and he put up this kind of meditation, and it was, hope I can get through it. It said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still and God and be. And I just meditate on that, you know, every time I'm disturbed. And it's amazing. It really works. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Liz A. in California. Next, we have Shirley R.
I have reached the bottom of the barrel, and I am struggling to be abstinent. And I'd like prayers that I can completely surrender myself to God. Thank you. S.
Thank you, Shirley R. And I believe you said you were from California. Next, we're going to go to New Jersey. Joshua F., please come in. Joshua, star one to unmute, please. Joshua, okay, I'll come back to you. Let's go to Margaret O. Margaret, can you come on the line and share?
Hi there, I'm Margaret O. I live in Stamford, Connecticut. Thanks for everybody doing service this morning. I packed my big book. I'm leaving today to go get out of the cold weather for a couple of months. And I shipped all my books yesterday, but I just listened to the reading. And it's profound to have doctors willing to set aside science when they see something outside of science that they can't explain. So I am pretty new to vision. I've been in OA for many years, like 25 years, but I've been much more abstinent on vision since July of this year, and I'm actually getting ready for this trip, so part of that is getting my food together for the plane, you know, weighing and measuring everything. And I already have a grocery order set up, you know, to be delivered Thursday, and with all my abstinent foods. And, you know, it's just very freeing. I always resisted weighing and measuring, but it's actually very freeing because my mind doesn't, you know, my mind's not running around a playground trying to find the next interesting thing to eat. It's just pretty much a straightforward food plan, and it's great. And I've learned so much since being in Vision. I've been working with a couple of different people, and every person I work with are just a wealth of information. In fact, I just learned about the 12stepstogether.com, which is a website that someone from Vision created, and you can click on Find a Sponsor, and there's a list of available sponsors. And so I emailed a bunch of people and said, are you available? Some said yes, some said no. So I haven't actually connected with anyone yet. That was just a few days ago. But when I get to my destination, I'm looking forward to getting into the steps because I know that's the answer. I've worked the steps in OA many times, and I've been a sponsor and a sponsee and all along in OA, but never could achieve abstinence. You know, I'd have breaks and slips and, you know, I could do it for a while, I've not had that miracle for as long as I've been in the program. Maybe I had glimpses of it, but I have now had much more profound direct experience of that, like coming through like a tsunami, like, holy moly, oh, that's what it is. Okay. So now I'm very motivated to really lean in and connect with that.
Time, Margaret.
Thank you for letting me share. Have an afternoon.
Travel. Thank you. Yes. If Joshua F., if you are there, you can have 1 minute. I don't know if star one was giving you a problem.
Hey, this is Joshua. I'm sorry, my
do it.
Another
do
program
it.
Called me. Here I am. Good morning. I'm calling from New Jersey. Today is day one of abstinence for the first time. I found a sponsor, wrote out my food list, created a food plan, and yeah, that's what's up. This is a great reading for this morning. You know, I think I keep hearing in my head, I had to have God's help. Right, this is the how and the why, but I know it's not what we're reading right now, but I just keep trying to remember I had to have God's help. I woke up 3 times last night to walk to the kitchen to go eat something, and I didn't, and I stayed in bed, right, and just sat there at the edge of the bed and prayed till it was long enough, and it passed, and so I'm drinking almond milk right now, which makes me want to fucking throw myself out of a window, but it's what's being asked of me, and I want to live. So I'm going to do that. It's not the worst thing that ever happened. And
that's all the time we have, Alex. Sorry. We have to close the meeting.
That's all I've got. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. Okay. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Alex K. is going to read a vision for you for us. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.